The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. On the air, online, and on demand. Visit the Chicago Bears Network page on chicagobears.com. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by Miller Lite, United Airlines, and University of Phoenix.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Bears All Access, a very special edition of Bears All Access, because 30 years ago, there was a team that transcended sports. That's right. It was the 85 Chicago Bears, and they have transcended time. They were loaded with talent, a ton of personality, and they were somewhat rebels with the cause as they had the goal to become world champions. And they, rightfully so, took advantage in attaining that goal. And we've got a great show in store for you tonight. Jim Miller alongside Tom Thayer of that 85 Bear team. We'll correlate and work in about Ron Rivera and his contributions to not only the 85 Bears, but how Mike Ditka, the coach of that 85 Bears squad, has helped Ron Rivera to achieve his goal to reach Super Bowl 50. And hopefully it can end in the same result. Because 46-10, it was a beatdown of the New England Patriots. And over the next 57 minutes, Tom Thayer and myself will be joined by Larry Mayer as the premier of the 85 Bears. It'll be a 30 for 30 special. It'll be aired on by ESPN February 4th at 8 p.m. Central Time. And tonight, there is a special screening at the AMC River East Theater in Chicago. And there are some special former Bears that are in attendance of that event. But for right now, let's welcome in my partner for the next hour. Let's say hello to one Tom Thayer to talk about this 85 Bears ball club, because I don't think anybody gets tired going down memory lane, because this team was considered one of the greatest that's ever lined up in the National Football League. So, Tom, good to be with you tonight, and I don't think you ever get tired, Tom, of going down memory lane.
You know, Jim, you really don't, and, you know, we had a great opportunity last night to have a reunion of the players, and over 40 of the players came to the event, and it was all spearheaded by Jim Morrissey and his buddy from the Rum Chata Corporation, and he really went out of his way, really extended himself and making sure that he could get a majority of the guys there. And the guys that showed up, they really wanted to be there, and they wanted to not recapture the moment of the Super Bowl. They wanted to catch up with everybody to see where they're at at this stage of their life, how things are going, just different guys that haven't been around much, the Singletaries and stuff, and able to catch up with a lot of teammates. And, you know, I think that's an interesting thing to see 30 years removed, because there's a lot more sensibility in the room, even though they're a group of good time guys that still want to have some beers and have a couple drinks and be able to tell stories. But now the stories are about their kids. The stories are about their life's accomplishments. Their stories about their goals of the future. And so many of them related back to the experiences they had back in their days with the Chicago Bears, whether it was the influence of Mike Ditka or Buddy Ryan or a guy like Dick Stanfield, who was my position coach, and all the other position coaches that helped. But then you see the leaders of that football team, from the Dan Hamptons and Jimbo and Jay and Horn on the offensive line, and all, you know, just everything that was accomplished by that group. And it's frustrating that we didn't accomplish more, but what we are able to do is still fun to rehash after, you know, 30 years after the fact. And majority of the people that are around that are above 40 years old, they do have a remembrance of that football team in some way, shape, or form, because there's a lot of different personalities you can gravitate that can attract you from that football team, and I think that's the neat thing about it.
Well, it was unlike any other team that came before or after, and it still is considered one of the greatest teams in the National Football League, arguably the greatest defense of all time. And you mentioned, just people forget that the talent that was on the team, the Hall of Famers, not only the coach as a Hall of Famer, but the players as well, and how great of a football team that was. And really, the Super Bowl itself, you know, here there was an early fumble in the game. I go back, I remember watching it, Craig James and the New England Patriots and how well they had run the football. And there was an early turnover in the game by Walter Payton. They cashed in with an early field goal, and it was nothing but the Chicago Bears after that. Probably the one of the most lopsided Super Bowls that I've ever played. And just take us through that season. Number one, you had a 15-1 season, Tom. It was tremendous to begin with. Ironically, Ron Rivera has the same record there, 15-1 for the Carolina Panthers. But how you went into the Super Bowl and actually the approach of it, because I don't think New England had even a shot even before you guys lined up on that day.
You know what surprised me about that team, Jim, is the everyday competitiveness. And it went through the practices that were full go, and they were live. And, you know, we rehashed some of the big fights we had inside the team, but they were cleared up as soon as we left the practice field. But the ability for these guys to go out and have such a strong desire to win, win convincingly, win with a little, not mean-spirited, but with the aggressiveness that everybody, that the reputation that defense had. And it always surprises me, because we were a 15-1 football team at the end of the regular season, and never was there ever a word mentioned. There was never the thought. There was never an approach to Mike Ditka or Buddy Ryan by anybody to say, hey, we have this thing clinched. Are you going to shut it down now towards the end of the season? And that's what surprises me so much about the modern-day NFL. It seems like every good team is just trying to get to the spot where they're going to see when they're going to start resting the players. And it kind of frustrated me when the outside media, that was the topic that they concentrated on with the Carolina Panthers. Would Ron Rivera, or when are you going to start resting these guys? And I think that's the worst thing to do. I think it's even worse to have that subject approached out of the locker room to the coach's office, or even inside the locker room to talk about it about other players. Because as soon as you have players that are talking about shutting it down, and then they think they can restart it once the playoffs get here, that's a big mistake. So I'm really surprised at the modern day guys talking about shutting it down, when if you ever asked Ditka about saying, hey, coach, are you going to take us out? Are you going to shut this down? He would cut you. And there was even a time that we were getting ready to play Tampa Bay, and it was going to be over 100 degrees down there late in the season. And Coach Ditka said, hey, if you guys get tired, just raise your hand and I'll get you out of there. But you won't go back in the game, but I'll get you out of there. And I still think, you know, that's a lot of the message. And the reason that team was so successful is because they were willing to go to work every day and be challenged every day in practice.
Well, Tom, it's a great point, because I always use the cliche, football players get paid to play football on Sunday. That's what you're paid to do. So teams that go around and they start resting their starters to keep guys healthy, I don't think, when we talk about how players are almost conditioned to play that, and I do believe that players play football on Sundays. That's what they're paid to do, and that's been the approach of Ron Rivera, and why he has had great success. And you mentioned the legendary coach Mike Ditka. Ron Rivera had some very complimentary things to say about your former coach, Tom, because he said, you know, I will approach our Super Bowl heading into Super Bowl 50 the same way, meaning the hard work, the preparation that we need, all the hard work, and, you know, really will be done this week, as they will be out in Santa Clara, you know, the week leading up to the Super Bowl. And he really gave all the credit to Mike Ditka, that he will use those lessons that he learned as a player for the Chicago Bears on how we prepare the Carolina Panthers against the Denver Broncos.
Hey, we were in full pads 2 days before the Super Bowl, going through our short yardage and goal line program with some effort. And that was one of the qualities that endeared this football team, is you never came to the practice field looking on the blackboard and to see, all right, no pads today. Because every day you went there with the assumption that you were going to go through practice in full pads. And I am happy that's one of the big influences to Ron Rivera, because that is a message that you have to preach from day one to your football team. And, you know, I saw Coach Fox do it this year with the Bears. He changed the mentality and the culture of training camp so these guys would realize what he expects out of these guys in practice. But when you look at where it dates back to 30 years ago, that was a major point of emphasis with Coach Ditka, and that whole team knew it, is don't ever ask for a day off. Don't ever think you're going to get a veteran day off. And if you think you're going to come here and we're going to go through a no-pad practice, you better wait till Saturday.
Well, we'll get into the Chicago Bears. They've made a couple of recent coaching moves. I'm come to you live at Ladd People Stadium here at the 2016 Reese's Senior Bowl. John Fox, the Bears contingent, they're here watching what could be the future stars of tomorrow. And when you mentioned going through a season, Tom, and I'll get into this as the program rolls along, most teams go through a set, you know, sometimes there are points in a season where there's adversity, whether it's injuries, whether, you know, positional changes that are made during the season. And when you think of the 15-1 Chicago Bears, yeah, you know, there were some vocal players and the personalities were big. But, you know, what were the adversities that you could think of that your team had to work through to go through what is probably one of the most historic seasons ever played?
You know, there are a lot of them, because the first game that I started to play in was the Minnesota Viking game, and that was the game that McMahon came in, talked himself off the bench, and begged Coach Ditka to get in the game because he had an injury and he hadn't practiced all week. But early in the game, right guard Kurt Becker was injured, and you got the notification where Coach Stanfield came up and said, Tom, you're in the game. So that's the preparedness that you have, is you better be prepared for that moment. And that's when you learn a big life lesson if you have any aspirations to be a professional football player, because you're not going to get a lot of notification for that. And then the adversity of a guy like Coach Ditka thinking, okay, I have Steve Fuller out there, but McMahon believes that he can give us a better chance. And then, you know, you go through the struggles of making that decision. Then finally you put him in the game and he throws a touchdown pass. And those are the things that, you know, you had to overcome in terms of making thinking decisions as the game's taken place. But I do think it was the work ethic on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday that we are able to work over those obstacles. If there was a change in the lineup, or Ed Hughes, the offensive coordinator, or Buddy Ryan were seeing something a little differently according to the team that we are playing next, if they had to make the subtle changes, they were willing to do it. But when you have Walter Payton, Jim, you're not going to make a lot of changes. Because I went back, and Jay Hilgenberg and I went back, and we were watching the end zone copy of the Super Bowl from 30 years ago. And if you look at the influence of the defense every time Walter Payton moved, that was their sole goal, was to take Walter out of the game. And they did a good job of limiting him, but the other guys that had a huge game was because of what Walter Payton, the opportunity Walter Payton gave them.
Well, Tom, we will tap your brain because you were there, and you can take us down memory lane. You lived it. Larry Mayer, Bears senior writer, is going to join us on the other side as he's at the special screening at the AMC River East Theater in Chicago. We've got plenty more to get to. We'll take your phone calls at 312-644-6767 as the show rolls along. We're just getting it started on Bears All Access. Stay tuned. The Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears. It's a unique TV show hosted by Anthony Adams and Lauren Screeden and brought to you by Jimmy John's. Inside Bears airs every Sunday night at 10:35 on Fox 32 Chicago, or visit chicagobears.com/insidethebears to check out show segments anytime. Premier of 85 Bears, and right now let's go out to the guest line and welcome in Larry Mayer, the senior Bears writer. He is currently at the special screening at the AMC River East in Chicago. So Larry, Jim Miller, Tom Thayer, good to be with you, and what a special night. I'm sure a lot of former Bears are in attendance at this special screening.
Absolutely, guys. And let me just say, it was amazing. I mean, I lived through the 85 Bears season. I was there. I think I've seen everything related to the team, but just watching it play out and the way they told the story, just incredible. I just walked out of the theater to do this interview, saw Jared Payton's got tears in his eyes after watching this. He said something to the effect like, I didn't know it was going to be like this. And it was just a very emotional thing. And the thing that impressed me most was that they told the story basically starting in 1982 when Mike Ditka arrived as coach, and really they went through the 80s and talked about players leaving and stuff like that, and touching on a lot of different things. And I think Bear fans are going to love this.
You know, Larry, reading one of your articles, 20 interesting facts about the Super Bowl, and you think about Tony Collins, their leading rusher, 4 yards on 3 carries, Tony Eason right. became the only starting quarterback not to complete a pass, and then they pulled him for Grogan. Are those types of stories told, or is it a story more specifically about the Chicago Bears, like you said, their growth from 82 to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, it's more of the latter of that. In fact, I was a little surprised they didn't show a lot of Super Bowl highlights. They talked a lot about the significant games, the Jim McMahon comeback, and other things when they beat Dallas and the first two playoff game shutouts. They didn't focus a lot on the Super Bowl, but like I said, they told the story and how they got there and how Mike Ditka, when he came into the Bears in 1992, said, "We're going to go to the Super Bowl in 3 years, but half of you guys in this room aren't going to be there," and stuff of that. They even touched on things later, like why they only won one Super Bowl, and you know, Jim McMahon's injuries and how those affected the team, and just even a little bit about the endorsements and how the Bears kind of took over the city of Chicago. And like I said, you know, I was a huge fan in those days, and I think they really did a great job of capturing all that and what it was like in Chicago during those times.
Well, you know, Larry, Tom just touched on some of the adversity of that 85 team and what they had to overcome to become Super Bowl 20 champions. And, but you go back and you look at the team and just how talented they were. I mean, just how that team was assembled, whether it's 82 to 85 that you just mentioned there. And what do you remember in terms of adversity? Because it's almost like if that team just lined up and and Tom already talked about how hard the team worked, but seemed like once that football was ready to line up, that team was going to win hell or high water.
Right. And I think it all started, and Tom could obviously talk to this much better than me, but it all started the year before when they lost the championship game in San Francisco. 23-0, and everyone told them to bring their offense next time. They came back, and as you said, Jim, I mean, it was an amazing season. And you know, the first game of the season, they were down 28-17 against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at halftime, rallied to win that. Then they went 12-0, and they made the point. It was interesting to me. Everybody remembers the Monday night loss in Miami being the only loss of the season. A lot of the guys that were interviewed in this, and those guys are like Gary Fesick and Jimbo Covert and Otis Wilson and people like that, basically said that was the key to the season right then, because they wanted to make sure that didn't happen in the playoffs. And they probably, I shouldn't say probably, but one guy made the fact that they might not have gone all the way if it wasn't for that loss.
You know, Jim, earlier we were talking about the obstacles and the adversities the Bears faced. You know, Larry, two of the strange games, or two of the games that really come to mind, it was when the Bears did go to San Francisco, and Coach Ditka realized the potential explosiveness of the Bears. And during that week, he said that he's going to put William Perry in the backfield because of what they did to the Bears the year before by putting Guy McIntyre in the lineup. And he referred to Bill Walsh as the gray-haired wizard, and I'm going to show him something. And that's one portion of it. But then you talk about going to Dallas and the incredible respect he had for Coach Tom Landry. Between Coach Halas and Coach Landry, they're probably his two biggest, most important mentors of his career. But to go to Dallas and beat him 44-0 and go out to San Francisco and bring an offense with you, I thought those were two games that really stood out and gave Coach Ditka and the players the belief that they were that something special was brewing there.
Absolutely, and if I remember correctly, the Dallas win was the one that you guys clinched the division. And the San Francisco game is touched on more in this documentary than the Dallas game is, and they just talk about the guy McIntyre, and they set up the background, like you said, how they put him in at the end of the championship game the year before, and Ditka basically admitting that it was for revenge that he put the fridge in, and then he realized, hey, let's hand him the ball, and a couple weeks later, let's throw him the ball. And Tom, I know Tom went over on the Bears' website. The Bears had the fridge throwing the ball in the Super Bowl, but he wisely pulled the ball down because Emory Moorhead wasn't open. So it was an interesting story. And like I said, just the way they told the story was very good, very emotional. A lot about Buddy Ryan and how much the defense loved him. That would probably be one of the central themes in the documentary. And like I said, they interviewed a lot of different guys. Very in-depth, Richard Dent, Otis Wilson, Gary Fensick, Jimbo Colbert, Jim McMahon, some of the guys that come to mind.
Well, Larry, last one, and we'll let you go, and we appreciate your time. Just for head coach Mike Ditka to manage all those egos, whether it's Buddy Ryan or Jim McMahon and all the names that you mentioned, and I look at a guy like Ron Rivera, who was on that team as well, he is going to use a lot of what Mike Ditka taught him as a coach. How much does that come across, Mike Ditka, and how he managed everything for that team to achieve a world championship?
Jim, I think a lot of it did, but a lot of it also talked about Buddy Ryan and Mike Ditka, the way they came together, the way they didn't get along, but they existed. And Mike Ditka made the point that, you know, they never won a Super Bowl without each other. After the 1985 season, and it's just interesting to talk about. And you know, Ditka obviously was mostly in charge of the offense. Buddy Ryan, more or less the defense, but it was an interesting band of characters. The one thing, Ditka deserves obviously a lot of credit, but that was a team with veteran leadership, and if somebody goofed off or if a rookie got out of line, I believe it was up to the veterans to get them back in line, and I think Ron Rivera's adopted a lot of that with the Panthers.
Well, Larry, thanks for joining us. We hope to have you later in the show. You hopefully will have a special guest for us, but I'm glad you enjoyed the screening. It sounds like a great thing that fans are in store for when it airs on ESPN February 4th. So thanks for joining us, Larry.
It absolutely was, Jim. And just in closing, Vince Vaughn narrates it, and he does a great job. And I know everybody knows him as an actor, but he was very involved in this. I believe he was an executive producer, and so he has a big role in this as well.
Great stuff, Larry.
Thanks, Larry.
And Vince Vaughn, a native of Lake Forest, Illinois, and that's right. He was a part of the executive production of 85 Bears as well. And again, it will air on ESPN February 4th at 8 p.m. Central Time. Well, Tom, we've got to step aside. When we come back, we'll talk more about that 85 Bear team. They are special. 30 years later, still talking about it as that team transcended the sports world. So we've got plenty more to come here on Bears All Access. The official tablet app of the Chicago Bears, Bears Daily, powered by Xfinity, is now available for free download. Search Bears Daily for the latest team news, videos, photos, and much, much more. Welcome back to Bears All Access. We just talked to Larry Mayer, Bears senior writer, and he will join us in just a few moments with a special guest who was at that premiere of the 85 Bears. And Tom, as you know, Larry kind of touched on, it was the end of the 84 season, the 23 or the loss to the San Francisco 49ers in the championship game, and guys came back that 85 season and said, hey, we're going to get this right now. We're going to get this offense cranked up. And you notoriously have talked about how difficult it was to practice against that 85 Bears defense and how it made you guys better as an offense. I don't, did you get a sense through training camp how the offense was coming together and how special you guys could be offensively? Because you guys averaged almost 28.5 points a game that 85 season.
Yeah, you know, Jim, it was kind of funny leading up to the going to the 85 season because I was playing in the USFL, and I was playing with some really experienced NFL players who had a lot of respect for the Chicago Bears. And all indications that these guys were telling me, they go, you think you're just going to go to the Chicago Bears and you're going to make that football team? You better think differently, because you are going to struggle to make this football team, because they had already assembled a lot of talent and they were a good football team. And growing up in Chicago, you started to hear the rumblings of success that it's related to the Bears. So my eyes were wide open when I got there, and I drove from my last game in the USFL on a Saturday night straight through to start a full pad training camp on Monday morning. And when I got there, and you kind of, I was playing for George Allen in the USFL, and you kind of had an understanding that he didn't have the most physical of practices, but they were really long practices. And then when we went to training camp with Coach Ditka, it was kind of the opposite. It was really physical practices from the starter practice to the end and with conditioning. So you had an understanding that he ingrained the work ethic in the players' heads. And the reason that they were still there with Coach Ditka is because they were a great group of competitive athletes that were trying to get better every day, and they were challenged every day to get better. So you could see it. But, you know, too, is when you go there and you have the opportunity to stand in the huddle with Walter Payton, or you break the huddle and you look across the line of scrimmage and there's Ming and Hamp and Richard and Mikey Hartenstein and Singletary and Otis and Wilbur and the whole crew stacked up behind them. You did know, whether you grew up in Chicago and understood the history of the Chicago Bears organization, or you were rolling up to that football team trying to convince the coaches or convince yourself that you had the ability to make that football team. It was the most challenging 2 months that I've ever been through, because, you know, coming off a season in the USFL, in that season we went 22 straight days of doubles in full pads every practice with conditioning after every practice. So, you know, it was a survival of the fittest. And if you were there at the end of training camp, it was you had a certain sense of accomplishment in your mind, and then it kind of gave you more confidence in yourself that if you were still there, something, you know, you had some reason that you were still around.
Well, Tom, I bring up the points per game that you guys averaged, and, you know, here in the modern-day NFL with all these spread offenses, we think, oh, they're scoring so many points, and look at the yardage and the touchdown passes they're throwing for, and that might be true. But even if you look at the Carolina Panthers or even a team like the Arizona Cardinals, Carolina scored a little over 31 points a game average this season. Arizona was just below that, just over 30 points a game. There are teams today in modern-day football that don't average 28.5 points a game. You know, even for this year's Bears squad, they didn't average that type of total. So I think, you know, just to put it in perspective, I don't think people realize that 30 years ago, this team was averaging pretty insane numbers in terms of scoring total.
You know, too, is our time of possession. You know, when you're talking about, over 40 minutes or around 40 minutes time of possession, 170 yards rushing per game, when you look at those stats associated to the way it complements the rest of your football team, because you're putting a fresh defense on the field. You're putting a defense that has the mentality of three and out. And then you're putting an offense back on the field that understands that 4 yards a carry with a running back like Walter Payton is going to win you a lot of football games. And that's, I think that's one of the stats that's, you know, underemphasized, is the way that the offense complemented that 60 minutes of play, because they always put a defense that wanted to be back on the field and they wanted to get off just as quick. And then we had an offense that we knew that we were going to go in and we are going to run the ball repeatedly. It wasn't double sheeted of plays. You had a couple formation and a couple plays, and it was the challenge of the defense to stop us. And, you know, we had that mentality that we were going to control the ball and we are going to complete the drive with points.
See, it's interesting that you say that, because everybody's going to go back and talk about the defense and just how dominating it was and how much confidence they played with. But conversely, when you just mentioned about having that mentality, I got to believe, you know, that's telling me that you guys had the confidence offensively that every game you went into that, hey, here's what we're going to do. We're going to put up our totals and what we do running the football, time of possession, dominating that, and it equaled points at the end of the day. You scored points. So maybe touch on it from that standpoint about the confidence the defense had. I understand, from what I'm getting from you, you guys offensively had that same style of confidence as well.
Right. But, you know, one of the analogies of today's season, when you look back at the Bears season and whether they won the coin toss or not and they decided to let the defense on the field and then the opponent had successful scoring drives a majority of the time, and now you're behind the eight ball and you have to make different decisions offensively and defensively because your opponent scored first. There's a lot of times that we wanted the Bears defense to go on the field first because there was not a lot of opportunities they were going to give the opponent's offense to go down and score, and usually they would create good field position for the offense. Then we could get into that run mentality, have that time-consuming drive that ended up with a score. But I've never met a player, I've never seen a player like Walter Payton that his desire to get 100 yards every game was one of the most important dynamics of that football team, because he was there every week. He was not on an injury report. He was leading the charge. He was the reason that that team was so successful, because everybody had so much respect for Walter Payton. But what he wanted to accomplish, meant so much for the whole football team. Because, you know, Jim, you're around football players more than anybody else in the NFL of today. And how many times do you come across a guy that doesn't want that veteran day off, that's going to show up at practice without a personal trainer and be in the best shape of everybody? And because he had so much desire to be successful, he helped put the team on his shoulders and carry that team through 85 as much as any player on the team.
Durability of sweetness was unquestioned what he meant to the 85 Chicago Bears. When we come back, yes, we'll hear from Larry Marion, a special guest. Plus, we want to open up the phone lines. You can call at 312-644-6767. Ask Tom. Your opportunity to win a gift certificate to Sports Authority.
Ask Jim.
Ask Tom about that, how special that 85 Bears squad was. I'm in awe. Long before my time, when I entered the National Football League, I understand how special that group was. So we got plenty more to come right here on Bears All Access. Join the season ticket priority list for the future opportunity to become a Bears season ticket holder. Visit ChicagoBears.com to join now. Welcome back to Bears All Access. Jim Miller here alongside 85 Chicago Bear, Tom Thayer, world champion. And as promised, we are going to go back to the special screening of the 85 Bears as Larry Mayer has a very special guest waiting on the line. And I believe it's the outstanding former kicker of the Chicago Bears, Kevin Butler. Kevin, Jim Miller, Tom Thayer, good to be with you. And man, had to be pretty special seeing that screening of the 85 Bears.
Well, it was, guys. Good to join you. It was a unbelievable film, a lot of emotion and a lot of great memories in it. Something that I think not only the 85 players will be proud of, but I think the city of Chicago will be very proud of the film.
Butthead, is the emotional part of this film you talk about, is it going to touch? Is it going to grab the attention of the general public? Or is it something that, you know, if you're a Chicagoland area person or you're familiar with the team, you'll capture it? Or is it going to grab everybody's attention?
That's a great question, Tom. Certainly be involved in it. It certainly plays a personal role in me, but I really do believe that it's going to capture everybody. That is a fan of football, I think, because of the players that were interviewed and the players that shared their stories. We're just honest. You know, Tom, you know it. We had a very special team there, and the guys were really the foundation of our team. We told it like it was. We did what we had to do. We didn't hide anything. And I think the emotion and the love and the dedication that the players that are interviewed in this film relate about what the team was about, I think if you don't have a connection to it, then unfortunately you're missing a great part of life, because you learn a lot from football, you learn a lot from team sports, and when you get a special group of guys together, it's very rare. And when you know, Tom, you played many years in Little League and through the pros, you know, you could count on your hand when you had that special team. And the one thing I said is, you know, when I stepped in the meeting room for the first time with you guys, I knew it was a special team, and they didn't let me down. And, you know, fortunately, I didn't let them down that year, so I got to be a part of it. I think the film and Jason and Vince Vaughn have captured it, and I think everybody will enjoy it.
Well, Kevin, you bring up a good point, and I've said this for many years, that there's a human element to football. I mean, these aren't just widgets out there playing football. They're human beings, and you repeatedly have said this is a special group of guys. What was it, the human element for you and all the guys that you played with that made it so special in terms of your personalities?
Well, you know what? Honestly, I could go right down the line. I mean, and it just didn't do stuff to me. For me in 85, I mean, these guys I stay in touch with, and they help you through little life struggles up till now, 30 years later, and that's what makes the team so special. But, you know, my rookie year, McMahon taking me under his wing, and Walter, you know, your hero when you step out of college, you're playing on the field with your hero. Any kind of encouragement they give us. Tom will tell you we had a very good rookie class that year, and we all leaned on each other because we all – contributed, and that was something that was special. So, you know, it wasn't one person. It was truly the team, and the Kenny Marvin was a guy that probably did me more off the field than on the field. We lived in his attic my rookie year. I lived in an attic over in Lake Forest, and I thought it was just the coolest thing ever because I was playing pro football and you know, bonding with a teammate. And just the littlest stories can mean the most to you when you're trying to make it in the NFL.
You know, Butthead, we were talking about this earlier. We were rookies, and we were walking into a team that got beat in the NFC Championship game the year before, and there wasn't a lot of room for young guys. And when you think about the efforts and the accomplishments of Bob Thomas, the kicker that was there before you, when did you feel it? When did you feel like, all right, I'm Kevin Butler, and even though I'm a young guy – I have the ability to make this team and make this team better?
Well, you know what, Tom? I can tell you exactly what it was, and it was right after that first preseason game, you know, when we do a lot in practice, and, you know, you can practice great, and if you don't perform well in the games, and my first game, I can remember it like it was yesterday. It was Memorial Stadium. We were playing the St. Louis Cardinals, man. I honestly can remember what it looked like looking out the tunnel before we ran on. And, you know, I think I went 2-for-2 in that game, and I believed in myself at that point. And that's when I said, why not me? You know, for some reason, you know, when I walked in the Hallis Hall the first time, Buddy Ryan came up to me and asked me, he goes, this, you know, Kevin Butler, I said, yes, the kicker out of Georgia, he goes, we wasted a draft pick on you. And, I mean, my world fell at that point until, you know, a hand came on my back and said, don't listen to him. He doesn't like anybody if he's not on defense. You'll be just fine. And, you know, to try to win his love back and appreciation was a little victory. But, you know, you start to believe in yourself. And when you go out there and you have some small successes, that's when you start believing, Tom. And if you know it, buddy, if you don't believe in yourself, you'll never make a run.
Well, Kevin, let me follow up on that point. If Buddy Ryan said that to you, was there a point in time when he came back to you and you realized, maybe made a comment where you realized that you earned not only his trust but Mike Ditka's trust as a coaching staff?
Absolutely. And it was, you know, later that year and even after the Super Bowl, I remember Buddy coming up to me. And many times I've seen him, and we've been very lucky to have him back at some of our reunions. But, you know, his greatest quote to me was saying, you're the only kicker I ever liked. And, you know, after that first day and that first comment, that was a big victory. I tried to always help Buddy in the defense any way I could out of practice. And I had the little Marine mentality, you know, be all you can be. And if it was another guy on the offensive line that needed run through ropes or go get water, you know, that's what I was lucky enough to be able to be that fantasy football player. I'd practice every day and hang around all my heroes, and we won a championship, and, you know, that bond never will be broke.
Hey, Butthead, you know, real quick, you kick a game-winning kick at the end of the Raiders game to beat the Raiders 1 year. I think we won 6-3. But now your son, yeah, Drew, is the punter for the Arizona Cardinals, and he's getting ready for a big punt out of his own end zone. Where do your emotions lie? Do you make you more nervous about yourself, or are you more nervous for him?
No, I'm more nervous for my stool. I mean, something's going to happen to me. I'm a nervous wreck. I just can't even control my own bodily functions, Tom. It's the absolute worst. You know, as a player, you go out there and you can control it, at least you practice, and again, you're confident together. And your kids out there, son, daughter, whatever. But, you know, in the NFL, the thing I really find the most is I worry more about holding as Drew's a holder.
Right.
So I always think about all these things that can go wrong on a holder. You know, I never gave my holders any room for bad holds. So I always expected them to be the best. And if they took pride in it and they worked at it. So that's really the funny part. You know, I'm getting better with this punting. He's teaching me to be a better dad and not as nervous. But the holding thing, you know, you just know it's right. How many things can go wrong, and you really appreciate the good hands.
Well, Kevin, we got to let you go. I'm so glad that you're so proud that you enjoyed that special screening of the 85 Bears. Thanks for sharing your stories, and hopefully we talk to you down the road.
Hey, appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
See you, buddy.
Kevin Butler, former kicker of the Chicago Bears, again, talked about how well of a job Vince Vaughn did, not only in the narration of the 30 for 30 premiere of the 85 Bears, also as an executive producer. And it sounds like that human element, Tom, really came across in this special screening. We've got plenty more to get to, especially your phone calls, your opportunity to win a gift certificate to Sports Authority on the other side. 312-644-6767. 85 Bears, your opportunity to ask Tom how special that group, that team was in 1985. More to come on Bears All Access. Keep it right here. Get the latest updates and messages from your Chicago Bears all year long. All you got to do is sign up at chicagobears.com/emails. Well, it's time to take your question, your chance to win a gift certificate to Sports Authority. You just have to be the best Sports Authority caller of the show. So let's get right to the phone lines at 312-644-6767. Let's try to rapid fire these. Let's go to Soli, who's calling us from Mount Greenwood. What's up, Soli?
All I want to say, when Tom was talking about Walter Payton and as pressed as he was, as tough as he was, but always remember that I watched his whole career, was the guy never ran out of bounds. I mean, he'd always go for the next yard. And I always remember when I watched his whole career, the guy was just tough as nails. You know, his running backs run out of bounds, he never does.
You know, Sully, that's what I think endeared Walter Payton around the league. You know, now there's a commercial that regularly plays with Eric Dickerson talking about going to introduce himself to Walter Payton. How much does that happen today? And then there are stats attributed to Walter Payton, how many extra yards he gained because he did not run out of bounds. And Walter Payton talked about the influences of the coach when he was young, who told him, you always finish the run aggressively, don't ever let the defender hit you. And I think those are just some of the lessons that Walter took to heart, and he used them every day. There was a couple collisions that I saw in practice between Todd Bell, who's passed away since, and Walter Payton, who's passed away, but some incredible collisions in practice after Todd rejoined the team. So it wasn't something that Walter was exclusively did this in the games. He did it in his everyday work habits. His work ethic was second to none. You never had to beg this superstar to come to the team and please be in shape when the season starts because you're an important. He took that upon himself, and it's the little things that Walter did to be so great. And sometimes I'm glad you brought him up because you lose sight of the importance of those little things. But when you look at the big career of Walter Payton, all those little things that were taught to him or told to him by people in his past, he took it to heart and he used it on the football field. And again, that's why people, whether the Bears were bad early in Walter's career to when the Bears were great later in his career, everybody loved Walter Payton.
Thanks for the phone call, Soli. Let's get right to KJ in McHenry. What's going on, KJ?
None much. Hey, Tom, Walter didn't have fumbleitis. He had those big hands, hardly ever fumbled. My question to you is, taking an educated guess, and I think that was one of the best things about Walter, that he didn't fumble. Taking an educated guess and thinking how your teammates would think about this as well, Walter's on top. He's number one. Give me the next four, whether it's coaches or players, that would be in the top five as far as helping out the 85 Bears win the Super Bowl.
You know, I would go right up. I would go Matt Sui to Jay Hilgenberg to Dan Hampton to Mike Singletary all the way back to Gary Fencik. If you drew a straight line up and down that offense and defense, if you looked at those leaders up in the middle and the influence they had on the parts of their game, Matt Sui, the influence to Walter Payton in the backfield, Jay, the influence on the offensive line, Dan Hampton, his presence, man, his ferociousness, his desire to be, Mike Singletary's preparedness in how he helped that entire defense stay level-headed, and then the intelligence of Gary Fencik. He's not intimidating when you look at him out of pads, but he has got, again, he's another that used intelligence as an asset. So you look at those guys, and that's only mentioning a few because it's hard not to talk about Otis and Wilbur, or it's hard not to talk about Jimbo and Keith Van Horn on the offensive line, all those guys. But if you look at the center field of the Chicago Bears, every one of those guys had an extreme role of importance. That's why they're in the Hall of Fame, and guys like Hilgi and Jimbo, they should get their considerations for the Hall of Fame also.
So thanks for the phone call, KJ, and as you mentioned, Tom, you're only as strong as your weakest link, and it seemed like everybody on that team stepped up. Certainly some unbelievable Hall of Famers in that group, but like Kevin Butler, former Chicago Bears kicker, talked about, even he felt the pressure that he had to come through for his football team. Tom, we're going to come back. We're going to hit the break. We're going to come back, wrap it up. We'll announce the Sports Authority best caller of the show, and we'll reminisce a little bit more about 30-year anniversary of probably one of the greatest teams in the National Football League, the 85 Bears. Keep it right here. Welcome back to Bears All Access. Jim Miller, Tom Thayer. It's been a very special edition of Bears All Access as the premiere of the 85 Bears. It will air 30 for 30 on ESPN. That will be February 4th at 8 p.m. Central Time. That's right. It's been 30 years that the Bears get an opportunity to honor their Super Bowl victory over the New England Patriots, 46-10. It was an absolute beatdown of the New England Patriots. And I got to say this, Tom, as we are about to announce our Sports Authority best caller of the show, and it's brought to you by Sports Authority. I'm going to go with Soli in Mount Greenwood because he talked about Walter Payton never running out of bounds. And to me, as a kid growing up, Tom, I idolized the toughness of the Chicago Bears, and I think Walter Payton definitely attested to that because he never seemed to run out of bounds. And I just remember how tough that football team was, and it seemed to be the mark of that football team in 85.
You know, Jim, Walter Payton, 5'9", 207. When you think about the Heisman Trophy winning backs and the size of all these guys, size is not the evaluator of greatness. It's the desire to be great, which is going to make you allow you to accomplish what Walter Payton was able to do. So, I mean, if you put him in a lineup amongst today's backs, Walter may not be the first pick for Red Rover, but I do think that he is the most inspirational player that I've ever been around because his example of leadership, his example of preparedness, and then his over willingness to be the toughest player on the football team. You know, how much more can you compliment a football player than that?
Well, congratulations to Soli and Mount Greenwood. He's the Sports Authority best caller of the show, and he wins a gift certificate to Sports Authority. And, Tom, let me ask you this. Do you get to sneak a DVD and see the premiere of the 85 Bears 30 for 30?
I have not. I came here to do the show with you. I know I'll see it when it airs on TV. I'm glad I was able to see all the guys face-to-face last night, and I'm sure this is something that I'll watch more than once. And because of the emotions that Kevin Butler talked about going through while he's watching this, maybe it's good that I'm watching it in my living room and not a theater where everybody can hear me sniffle and cry.
Well, Tom, I thank you. I'm sure the listeners thank you for all the proud moments that you shared and the stories you shared with us tonight. Until next time, I'm Bears All Access. Thanks for listening, everybody. He's Tom Thayer. I'm Jim Miller. We'll be back next week, Bears All Access. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for listening to this Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access, your all-access pass into the world of Bears football. You can listen to Bears All Access shows online at chicagobears.com. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by FanDuel, MasterCard, and Verizon.